Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, actually, do you know what? I've got trust in my slippers.
Minute Tim's flagship episode 304 in the Champions came to Celtic Park, and to have any chance of retaining their title, all they had to do was win. But unfortunately, they failed. I am joined by Stephen.
That was a long F there. I thought it was going to be something else, but yes, I'm here.
Melly.
Yes.
To pick over the bones and discuss Rangers' abject failure to mount any sort of serious title challenge this season. Stephen, the one and done champions. Now, for me, the mark of champions is, as the great Muhammad Ali once kind of said, and as the Green Brigade put on a poster some time ago, it's the getting knocked down is fine. It's getting back up that matters. And Celtic got knocked down last season. There's no way anyone could deny that. We were knocked down. We were out and Rangers won the title. But Celtic got right back up, right back on the horse. And we've pretty much won the title at the first time of asking.
Yeah. We're looking like it. It's not quite done yet. It's not quite done yet, but it's looking in a very, very good position. But that's a good way to put it. It's we've come an awful long way this season. We've spoken about this many times, the journey that Celtic have been on this season. It is remarkable. See, when you actually look back on it, to have come from, 25 points last season to all but winning the title by at least, as it stands, 6 points plus goal difference, plus VAT in goal difference, is incredibly impressive. And it's even more impressive, given the context of just how abject, how utterly woeful we were last season.
Melly, from this day, I know point swings aren't a thing. They're not a thing, right? But it's a good little gauge. It's a wee headline that people often like to use. On this date, as we record this, which is the 2nd of May, 12 months ago, Rangers sat 23 points ahead of Celtic in the table. We're now 6 points ahead of them, so that's a 29-point swing. Where has this come from?
Good manager. Good manager. Celtic went out and got themselves a good manager in the summer. Again, it's looking like they went and targeted two good managers because Eddie Howe's doing a great job down at Newcastle. So we got that right. And when you get your manager right, like we've seen throughout Celtic history, whether it be Wim Janssen, Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan coming in, Brendan Rodgers, when you get yourself a good manager, you win trophies and you're successful. And Celtic have managed to do that. We sat here at the start of the season many a time saying if we were within 6 points of Rangers going into at the coming end of the season, that would look maybe a wee bit of a success, as if we were closing the gap on them. But to be 6 points ahead is phenomenal. 3 games to go. We now need to drop points in every game we've got left in the season. And look, see, yesterday, after the game, could have been better.
That's for Rangers to win, by the way. We don't need to drop points in every game for the rest of the season. Just get your list. What we need to win the title is to drop points in every single game.
Still could win it, couldn't we? And after the game, myself and a lot of people I spoke to, is it a missed opportunity for Celtic there? And look, maybe if we had went out and won it, it would have been brilliant, but it was a missed opportunity for Rangers. They had to win that game, and they didn't. They had a couple of chances towards the end, but I didn't ever feel like it was all thrown in the kitchen sink at it for Rangers. They did fling Conor Goldson up front, but for yesterday, it was quite strange because we went ahead and then let in a goal. You did probably take a draw before it because it all but seals the title. But just in the grand scheme of things, how far Celtic have come and look this season. And if you just include the league, we've played them 4 times. We've beat them twice and drew with them once. Like, they're a decent team. So for Celtic to come this far in such a short space of time is It's phenomenal, really.
It's not often, Stephen, that there's a concurrent competition that goes on that lets you gauge how good a team is, because quite a lot of the time what you hear is, well, wasn't a very good Rangers team. Or Rangers were this, or Rangers were that. That's why Celtic won the league. Now, excuse me, Rangers won the league last year. COVID and all that sort of stuff. So there's kind of a bit of a mitigating circumstance in there. But this season, Celtic are up against a Rangers team that are in the semi-finals of the Europa League.
Yeah.
They're up against a Rangers team that won the league at a canter last year. They're up against a Rangers team that many pundits, many guys in the press backed to win this league. Rangers fans all thought they were going to win the league. When it became apparent Rangers weren't going to win the league, obviously the excuses started filtering through. But this is a strong, very strong Rangers team, as evidenced by other competitions that they're in.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty churlish of us to deny that. Now, to be absolutely clear here, we're not saying this to bum Rangers up. We are not fans of doing that on here, but it really puts Celtic's achievements into perspective doing this, because to me, just simply dismissing this as, but Rangers are crap, you know, we should be absolutely pumping them every single day. But I think that does down the level of achievement that it's taken to get to Celtic back to this level. The game itself, I didn't really know how to react to it. Now, we recorded our post-match stuff immediately after the game, put it out on patreon.com/20minutetimes. And I didn't really know how to react to it. I felt the game itself was a little bit deflating. Now, that was purely because in the build-up to the game, I had spent all week convinced Celtic were going to win and win comfortably. Now, that was just me doing that to myself. I had the usual wobble where I think, oh, it's going to be difficult. But I couldn't envisage anything other than a Celtic win, and to come away with the draw that still all but guarantees the league, right? And it's right there, just go and get it, Celtic. But to come away with the draw, I thought, feels weird, it feels kind of strange. We've basically done enough there, but I always with a league win, you want the big blow that lands, that delivers it, you know what I mean? You want to go out and with a big win, and as much as we'd kind of did enough in that draw under a bit of pressure in the second half, I didn't really know how to react to it. It was only today that I got up to that and thought, oh, do you know what? That was still a good achievement.
I hate to be one of these, like, I told you so, but I did say in the pre-match on Patreon, I thought it would be a draw. I just had a feeling that it was going to be a draw. I thought it'd be a very, very, very tight game. And Rangers needed to win that game and they didn't. And I think that's what Joe Hart said in his post-match. We were at the post-match press conference. We got invited to do it, and that audio is available on Patreon as well. And that's the fact of the matter. This is just a very, very strong Celtic team. And Melly said it, you get your manager right at the beginning of the season and things start to fall into place. And I think there's a lot of questions being answered about managers, about players, about things happening. Because when you look back, a lot of these players have performed in big games for us, and we'll talk about the game in a minute. Joe Hart's won, you know, Greg Taylor's won, the managers won. All these people at different points of their arrival had questions hanging over them. And just week after week, month after month, those questions are just getting batted aside. Ange Postecoglou's just won Manager of the Year, which was unthinkable when he walked in. No one was tipping him for Manager of the Year the first couple of months.
Yeah, it's strange because we kind of thought at the start of the season, look, Ange Postecoglou, when you find out who he is and what he's done and have a look at him and go, do you know what, this could be something special if Celtic managed to close the gap and then go on and win in the second season. But to come in, get that start we got losing the first three away games, and then to go from that, that's the last time we lost domestically in the league. That's incredible. That's September, and Celtic have just went on this run. But yeah, you can't forget within that run, the amount of things that happened to Celtic, injuries and COVID getting us in one of the St Johnstone games towards the end of the year. And just thinking, Celtic have just managed to go, no excuses here. We've not got the players right now, but we're not going, Ange Postecoglou keeps saying, I didn't give the players that excuse. Everybody here's good enough to be here. And Celtic just went out and were just quietly winning games up to the start of this year. And then we just started blowing teams away when we got some players in. So it's incredible to think all the hardship we've went through this year, and now we're sitting on the cusp of winning the league with games to spare.
Yeah. And I think that game yesterday, it was, Stephen, more or less a title decider. It was Rangers' last chance to get in, back into the title race in some way, shape or form, put pressure on us. And they just couldn't rise to the occasion because Celtic handled themselves.
Yeah, well, let's look at that for a minute, because all I've heard, there's been an awful lot of that's the real quizzing going on this game. Awful lot of that's the real quizzing going on. I've heard about how that was a moral victory. They were the better team, therefore proving they're the better team overall, despite the fact the league table says differently.
Clear who the better team are, I think one prominent Rangers tweeter said.
Yep, I was waiting for not one of their players would get into our 11 for bingo. There's been a lot of that going on. So let's look at that for a minute. They had the chance to go and wrestle back some sort of control over the destiny of the title. All they had to do was go to the home of the second best team in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly the second best team in the league, and get a victory, and they couldn't do it.
And it's not like we're superstars, Stephen. We're just normal men. We're just normal men.
What do you mean normal men?
We're just normal men. Just a living normal man.
Just innocent men.
Uh-huh. So it's not like they had to go and beat Goliath or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I've heard all the excuses. I've heard all the excuses since the game, and you know, there's been a lot of dominated a period of the game trophies handed out this season as well. Remember, they won the second half at Celtic, or they drew the second half at Celtic Park. Ryan Jack, oh, what a performance it was.
He hit the bar.
And then the abs crushed us in the second half of this game as well. I've heard it all, but all it boils down to is, you're right, Rangers had that golden opportunity to go and prove all the stuff that they're saying about how they're the best team, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They got a draw at Celtic Park, which was... I'm not going to dress up. It was a fair result, and for a time it looked a little bit dicey. Having watched the game back, it was one of those games that could have been 3-1 to Celtic. It could have been 3-2 to Rangers. It could have been 3-0 to Rangers. It could have been 3-3. It could have been it could have been any result, and you really couldn't have complained about it, because I think both teams had the chances to either comfortably win or a high scoring draw in that game. I think a draw was a fair result, but all the pressure was on them. I went to the game, as I said, I went to the game pretty confident, because I thought, right, it's in sight here and we can go and just grab this title and just put it beyond doubt. But it was a draw. It was a draw, and Rangers just couldn't manage to get control of that.
Ange Postecoglou more or less picked the same team that he picked the previous week. Anthony Ralston filled in at right back, and there was a bit of discussion mainly about who was going to start up front. It ended up being Kyogo that started up front. How do you think he got on?
He had a great chance that if he scored that and Celtic go 2-0 up, I think the game's done. If Celtic, they had enough chances, very good chances to make it 2-0, and I think I don't see Rangers coming back. But it's a bit difficult. I don't think Celtic were great going forward and at the start of the game and for a lot of spells during it. So Kyogo's one of those guys that feeds off chances, and if you're not supplying him, the way Celtic play, we don't want our striker dropping deep to go and get the balls. He's always, as you see with Kyogo, a lot, he's offside and then comes back on and makes the runs. So Celtic didn't create the chances for him, so I can't really say he was good or bad. But I think when Jack and Marcus came on, the way the game panned out, it made Celtic look a bit better, because we had an out ball and some physicality to go up against Goldson. So look, I thought Kyogo starting was the right call, but with Harry hindsight, it's maybe looking the way the game, but you never know how the game's going to pan out.
I think, you know how sometimes, Stephen, you just prefer a player. And yeah, I do like Kyogo, but there's just something about Giakoumakis that I prefer. And I think Giakoumakis has got all the makings of like a bit of a cult hero for Celtic.
Definitely.
And with hindsight, Harry hindsight, as Melly said, with hindsight, and I probably would have started Giakoumakis just like how he bullies the Rangers centre halves. I think the Rangers centre halves, as Mel says, you need to create chances for Kyogo. We need to get the ball forward. We need to create. And with Kyogo, I said this in the pre-match as well, you sometimes need to create three good chances before he scores one. Whereas Giakoumakis is in the habit of creating chances for other players. And I think with him providing the out ball, with his physicality, sort of changes the way he plays. It's kind of academical now, because we're not going to... Academical? Why did you not pick me up on that? It's kind of academic now, because we're not going to play Rangers again for the rest of the season. But in retrospect, I think Giakoumakis is the man against them.
I don't know yet. I think we've got a number of attacking players, and none of them as yet have scored against Rangers. No, well, Jota now has, Abada has in the past, but none of the three options you think for central striker, they've not scored against Rangers yet. So I don't really know. I don't know if there's necessarily a body of evidence for that.
That's what I mean. I just prefer him. I just have a feeling.
I think Giakoumakis came on and did put himself about a bit. There was a fair few tussles with Goldson. Some of them I can't really be bothered talking about the ref this time, because I don't think it was as egregious as it has been in previous weeks. But I thought he was fouled a good few times, just being dragged all over the place. One thing that was annoying me about Giakoumakis, though, was that he was going down a lot, and that's fine. I don't mind a bit of the kind of Chris Sutton thing. You back into players and go down and win fouls. But see, when it's abundantly clear that you're not getting that, Phil. You need to get back up and get on with it. Honestly, see this staying down and throwing your hands in the air and rolling about and all that, it's not going to get us anywhere in a game that's as intense as that. We can't afford to have somebody lying in the deck protesting against a foul that wasn't given for 10 seconds while Rangers are on the attack. So that was kind of irritating me towards the end. But I just don't know. I'm no further forward with what we spoke about last week. I could see the pros and the cons for starting either one of them. I don't know if, having seen the game, I'm any further forward on that decision as to what I would do with the next game, to be quite frank. I think they both have their huge merits in this Celtic team, and they both probably get a part to play in the last couple of games we've got.
It's a strange one because Giakoumakis, he puts himself about and gives us that physicality, and Celtic needed that in the second half a bit, but we needed it because we weren't getting the ball into the final third the usual way we do, by passing through Rangers and breaking through the lines. But with Giakoumakis, I can't really remember a clear-cut chance he's had against Rangers, but with Kyogo, he had that one chance. So I think Kyogo's more likely to score against them, but Giakoumakis is maybe a better option to have up there.
That's kind of what I mean. Kyogo missed a really good chance. Maeda missed a really good chance.
Two good chances.
Yeah.
Jota missed a really good chance. Yeah. I mean, we passed up a lot of opportunities to see the game away.
Yeah, as I said, if we score one of them 2-0, I think that's it. I think around the 55-minute mark, the game sort of changed. And if Celtic had got a goal, because into the first, towards the end of the first half, we were really on top of them. Start of the second half, we created a couple of those chances. The Maeda one, I think that was the one in the second half. If you score that just after half time, then I don't see Rangers coming back. But again, like the game at Hampden, just that momentum started to shift a wee bit. And I think that was when Celtic made the substitutions. I don't think, for all Giakoumakis came on and done well, I think the midfield wasn't working. Hatate was having another howler.
Yeah.
And then when we made the subs, I just feel when you take Cal McGregor out that number six position and put Nir Beaton in, it's not Nir Beaton's fault, he's not Cal McGregor. Cal McGregor is brilliant there, but he's also good further forward. But just taking him out there meant Starfelt and Carter Vickers, Ralston and Taylor didn't have that option of Cal McGregor. Always makes himself the option for somebody to pass to. He's so quick when he find himself in space, whereas Nir Beaton's a bit more ponderous, he can't get about as much as McGregor. That we didn't have that ball into him, who then plays it into the players we want on the ball. So once we took him out the number six, I think Rangers midfield sort of took over a bit, and they were able to play those quick passes around us and get in on us. And I just don't think Beaton could cover the ground. Beaton and Rogic, good players on their day, but again, I don't like them in the same midfield, especially getting a big game like this where Rangers midfield, you've seen Lundstrom just absolutely wee guide Hatate every time he had the ball. So
Just on the Lundstrom thing, because I was waiting to bring it up and I didn't want you to drift too far away from Hatate, because I know Steve wants to talk about him as well. It wasn't even that he wee guided him, as in he had to push him off the ball. See the amount of times, Stephen, that Hatate was just caught waiting on the ball in a Glasgow derby with the title, and you're just waiting on the ball coming to you. You can't do that in a game of five a-sides now. Hatate's obviously tired. He's exhausted. Yeah, we've heard the story, and it's pretty clear and pretty evident what Ange is doing. He's like, look, this is what happens when you play for Celtic, so either sink or swim every week. Back in, back in, back in. You need to play through this because this is what it's going to take.
I'm not having the tired thing either.
No, I mean, whether he's tired or not, I don't think even Ange is having it. You know, Hatate can say what he wants in the press, but it's pretty obvious, and Ange touched on it in the post-match yesterday, that like, this is what playing for a big club is all about. You're in every week. If you're tired, if you're upset, if you're struggling with the pace of it, if you're struggling with the emotional toll that all these high-pressure games are taking, then that's what playing for Celtic is, and that's obviously what he's trying to do with Hatate.
Yeah, I don't want to pile in on Hatate, right, because we've had these discussions a number of times now.
He's just a normal man.
What do you mean, normal man?
He's just a normal man.
He is just a normal man, and he has to see, if he says he's emotionally exhausted, that has to be taken seriously, right? It's we're all a lot more understanding. If somebody had said that in the 90s, we would have laughed at them. You know, that kind of Stan Collymore thing he said he was struggling mentally and all that, and everybody was like, this is ridiculous, the most ridiculous thing I've ever said. So when a player that comes out and says that he's like kind of struggling emotionally and mentally and all that, and just physically exhausted, that has to be taken seriously. But I don't really see how that relates to how I'm supposed to analyse his performance, because he keeps getting picked, and it's not my problem really to deal with that. I need to watch Celtic as they're picked and as they perform on the day, and yeah, he might be absolutely exhausted, but as Melly said after the game to me, he's like, look, we're only playing one game a week just now, right? So what's happening in the build-up? And people can
say... It's a first half performance as well. Yeah. It's not as if it's into the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. And people keep saying like he played a whole season in Japan, but is this cumulative exhaustion from games that were played in November? How does that work?
I honestly don't, as you say, keeps getting picked, and I don't really think it's anything to do with that. I think Hatate's getting, there's a few excuses to excuse Hatate's performances as of late, and this is one of them. But I think ultimately, I think Ange's got a commitment, doesn't he? Ange's a bit of an ideologue. When things that aren't working out, he still sticks with it. We've seen that at the early season. We saw that with inverted fullbacks when Tony Ralston was struggling to get a chance with it. We saw that with the playing out for the back against this Rangers game. Even when we're under mega pressure, the ball's still coming short. Ange has got his ideas and he's got his way to play, and Hatate's obviously key to that. And he's like, look, there's no quarter given here. You're going to find out whether or not you can sink or swim. And I just think that's what it comes down to. And I think Hatate needs to just quickly get on board with it, because how many games have we got left? Three?
Yeah.
He's going to play all three games, obviously, isn't he? And just not going to take him out of the firing line.
Yeah.
The way Celtic are as well, I've heard all season about the injuries and all that, and they've got the Zone 7 in now. So if anyone was flagging up for Hatate, he wouldn't start these games.
Yeah.
He wouldn't start these games, especially when Celtic have got Beaton, Rogic,
McCarthy,
Ediguchi, all on the bench yesterday, so it's not as if we're starved of options. He obviously thinks Hatate's the better player out of them, or he was for that game, and we've seen him have good games against Rangers this year, but tiredness can come into it at some point, but not 10, 15 minutes into the game when you've made one successful pass, where you're waiting on the ball, where you're being brushed aside, where nothing's really going right for you. I said to Stephen yesterday, there was one point in the second half where I think if somebody took a throw in and he just tapped it back to him, I was like, yes, build your confidence up. I'm like, this is Celtic against Rangers, and I'm telling some guy to get a touch of the ball to build his confidence up. It shouldn't have to be like that, because we can see he's had good performances, but it's been quite a number of games since he has had a very good game for Celtic, and these are the games where you're judged. These are the games where you're judged, and Ibrox today, the semi-final, I think he's been subbed in them all. So how long can it go on before? I think Celtic, they've not quite got that balance in midfield right. I thought it was quite very harsh to take off O'Reilly. I thought Wiley wasn't doing brilliant. I thought he was picking up good spaces and his energy about the pitch. And when that went off, and for all Hatate wasn't doing the basics right, he does get about the pitch. When we took that off and it was Beaton and Rogic, I thought, oh, it's just a bit stale in there.
Cal McGregor was terrific though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it again,
player of the year, Callum McGregor. Let's give him his proper title.
Entirely deserved, and what a season it's been for him. And his performance yesterday, there was a few grumbles run about us where we said, "Say, oh, Callum, you've not done anything today." And I'm not sure about that. But you see it so clearly when he's not in that position, and it is near Beaton. Again, I don't want to make this a scapegoating exercise where we just pile into the same players that we've had a lack of trust in all season. But you really do see the loss of control in that midfield when Callum McGregor comes out of that position. We just don't have anything to replace. We've got loads of players who ostensibly on paper can play that position. We've got McCarthy, Ediguchi, Beaton and all that, but nobody who can give you the level of control and dynamism.
And leadership.
That, there is that as well, because look, we've...
And sorry, I don't mean the intangible leadership that people talk about with Joe Hart. I mean leadership on the pitch. I mean when things are going wrong, Callum McGregor's always first to give me the ball.
Yep.
He'll get himself into tight situations. He'll come short. He'll help a teammate out. He's always looking for the ball off them.
And that's something, again, I don't want to stick the boot in Hatate, right? Because he is still a new player, and he has come from literally the other side of the world, and he's trying to settle into a season that was in full flow when he got here, never mind now when the pressure is even higher, because we're about to clinch the league, hopefully. And things have been very intense for him. And I said last week that I'm just looking forward to getting all this excuse of playing loads of games and being exhausted out the way, because that can't follow you around for the second season. But the difference here is that the amount of trust that I have in Callum McGregor to deliver a performance is completely different. I've said that I don't trust Hatate. That was a thing I said in the previous or a previous derby, and I want to qualify that by saying that it's not that I don't rate him. It's just that
he's a bit of a wild card, isn't he?
Yeah, there's now a demonstrable pattern there with the performances he puts in. They're always the same. They're always the same. Hatate. That's how he plays now. He comes in and he looks for weeks now like he's playing a totally different game to everyone else. He's just a half a second off everyone else. Mm. Someone will pass to him in midfield and it'll break off him. There was a couple of breakaways that were on yesterday and he was just closed down. Lundstrom was just quicker and more aggressive than him most times. So I'm looking forward to hopefully changing for Itati, but I know we've drifted back to Itati when we're trying to talk about Callum McGregor, but I just thought that comparison's quite interesting with the level of trust that the fans should have in the different players. But Callum McGregor is just brilliant. I'm just so glad we've got him. I'm so glad that, you know, a player like that could easily have been tempted to go elsewhere. There was some chat about him leaving a couple of seasons ago.
Comments were quite good yesterday.
Yeah, they were really good, yeah.
Always are. I've thought that for a long time. He's very impressive.
What did he say?
He said that...
Just for the listeners' benefit. Yeah.
He took it personally last season and he said, I could have taken the easy option and left, but I chose to stay because... Hit his pride last year, so he wanted to win the trophy, bring the trophy back for Celtic.
Michael Jordan in it. Remember anyone's seen The Last Dance? Michael Jordan said that about six times throughout the course of that documentary. So Callum McGregor's taking his inspiration from the greatest. Not bad, but he's just a brilliant player. Thoroughly deserved his award as well. I've been banging the drum for Cameron Carter-Vickers for a long time.
He might still get the 20 minute Tim's player of the year.
he might do, but the real quiz. But I couldn't possibly grumble with Callum McGregor winning it, and he's been due one. I think it's been about to be Callum McGregor's time for a few seasons now. It didn't happen for him last year, of course, for obvious reasons, but I absolutely deserves it this year.
Jota's goal, Melly, almost a carbon copy, although very similar to the goal that Abada scored against Rangers.
Yeah, Barisic just having a nightmare again, wasn't he? There was a couple of times he let his man in, and it was the first time Celtic really got at Rangers and found space, and that was because we moved the ball quickly. Mm. Greg Taylor moves it into Maeda, who picked up great space, and Taylor had picked up a really good position, and it's a good bit of dribbling. Well, we dribbled from Maeda and a great ball across, and it's kind of similar to the one that Kent had, the early chance early on. And look, we can slag Barisic for being a shite bag, because that's a couple of occasions he's been caught out like that, but Ralston got caught out like that, and it's so difficult as a defender to cut that ball out because there's somebody coming in ahead of you. We've seen that with Ralston, so it is very difficult to defend, and just the way Maeda put it in there, Alan McGregor, he's not going to come for that, and if you put it in that gap between him and the defenders, you've always got a chance against Rangers. And once we got that goal, that was like, right, we've not played great so far, but we're in the lead, let's now push on and push on. But again, with Celtic in these type of games, didn't they quite do that?
I think it's honestly, without bumming them up to me, I think it's because Rangers are a difficult side to beat, as proven in the Europa League. I know we pumped them 3-0 at Celtic Park, and that was a great result, and you get results like that, but I think each team, I think 1-1 yesterday was probably a fair result given the performances of each team.
Yeah, I think, see that 3-0 game, look, it was brilliant, one of the best games I've ever been to, one of the best atmospheres, but Rangers just collapsed in that first half. So I think if Celtic had maybe won that game 1 or 2-0, it might have not coloured the expectations for the next three Glasgow derbies, as it is now called. Yeah. Fuck that there. So I think just that when we beat them that time, it sort of changed the expectations of a lot of people,
totally agree,
myself included. But Rangers are a well-drilled team. Watching them again, that is three or four times I've seen them in the flesh this season. They're not a good footballing team.
No.
They are terrible to watch. I'm still not quite sure what Van Bronckhorst's sort of style is. He seems to be a sort of horses for courses manager. They'll change things. He switched up to a back three, a back five even against Leipzig. But Rangers are better at sitting in and containing than Celtic. Yeah. Celtic have got a better defence than them. But look, they're in a semi-final. They managed to effectively play well against Celtic. Not play well, but
I think
effective.
The latter end of the second half, especially Rangers, probably played the better football against us.
Yeah, they seem to, so many times, Al McGregor, Goldson or Barisic, it's that switch out to Tavernier on the right-hand side up against Greg Taylor and go from there. I'm like, is that your tactic we were talking about?
Well, to be fair to them, they did end up with Connor Goldson up front towards the end of the game.
You can imagine the tactics being put together. It's we, Jimmy Bell, the analyst, on his laptop, like, Googling Greg Taylor, like, Greg Taylor height. Gio, what's 1.64 metres? I don't know, but 5'6", right? There's your tactics. Just punt it down on top of him for the whole game.
That was their tactic. We are taking the piss, but that was Rangers' tactic from the first minute, just shelling it on top of Greg
Taylor.
That's
what you pay for your tactical analyst for. Just punt it towards the smallest guy in the
Greg
pitch.
Greg Taylor must have thought, no one of these again, man. God, I'm in for a shift here. Greg Taylor? Turn on the Instagram comments so we can tell you how much we love you. We do. We love you, mate.
A sign of growing confidence as a Celtic player is he's turned on the Instagram
comments. I'm asking him to, has he?
Oh, has he not?
No, he's not
were,
yet. No,
I thought you were announcing there.
No, only his pals can comment on it. And we're not friends with Greg Taylor on Instagram, so turn on not yet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Summer is here, the sun is shining, the shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard that right, your friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian sand. In summer, you want to kill some cold beers and barbecues, not kill the vibes with pubes peeing from underneath your swimming trunks. That's why Manscaped has a Performance Package 4.0 to keep the party in your pants looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. Dive headfirst into summer by joining the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and get ready for hot guy summer. Go to manscaped.com/Tims for 20% off and free shipping. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare that summer body. Inside this package, you'll find a lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Stephen, what else could you possibly want?
Well, you could explain exactly what that product is. The Lawnmower 4.0, that's just a ball sack trimmer.
That's exactly what it is.
From your podcast mates. And yeah, crack on.
There's no other way to put it, Stephen. That's exactly what it is. It's just a ball sack trimmer from your podcast mates. And if you go to manscaped.com/Tims, you get 20% off with free shipping. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package with Manscaped. Greg Taylor's one of these players who has really had a season defining or a defining season for Celtic. And there's a couple of other players that I think are due a mention. One in particular is Joe Hart. I think Joe Hart pulled off a save in the second half yesterday. Now, some people could maybe say that he went down a bit slow for the goal or whatever. That's, you can discuss that, right? But he pulled off a save in the second half yesterday that basically secured the title for Celtic. Yeah. And I'm so pleased for Joe Hart. He did. Was he man of the match?
Jota got my match. I don't know who Sky Sports got.
Because he did the post-match press conference. He did the post-match press thing that I was at. I'm so pleased for Joe Hart, because Joe Hart came into Celtic with so much criticism. And for once, it was actually criticism from not inside the club, but Celtic fans. The amount of people didn't want this guy. The amount of... I wrote a thing about it at the time. I was jokingly saying, can we not just go back to trying to figure out whether or not a player's good or not, instead of being told by scouts and scouts and analysts and data accounts. The minute a player walks in the door, you shouldn't like him, by the way, he's pish. No. Wouldn't it give us a chance to find out where the guy's good? Now, I'm quoting myself from when Joe Hart first walked in the door, because we had a litany of mistakes under Barkas, and even due into Joe Hart's Celtic career, there was people still out there with a straight face telling us that Barkas was the better goalkeeper. And no matter what we're watching, Joe Hart, the press didn't really care about Joe Hart so much as the Rangers fans never really. Every piece of main criticism about Joe Hart and his arrival at Celtic Park happened from Celtic fans, happened from Celtic social media scouts and all that sort of stuff. And he shut them all up.
Oh, yeah. See, there's nothing really wrong with being a little bit confused or a little bit kind of alarmed by signing a guy like Joe Hart out of the blue, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing inherently wrong with having a little bit of a raised eyebrow in Celtic going and sign a guy like Joe Hart, because he came out of the wilderness. He had a very high profile. Fall from grace is maybe a little bit strong, but you know what I mean? He was riding high with Man City, and a wee bit too much has been made of the kicking that Guardiola gave him. He just didn't want him. That was it. He just came in, took a high-profile player and didn't really want him anymore, but his career has been in free fall since then, a couple of different spells. So when he rocks up at Celtic, I don't think it's beyond the realms of, like, I don't think it's unfair to just be a wee bit like,
Yeah, but I think my issue with it is it's never delivered like that, is it? Or is that what you're getting to?
Yeah, I think that's out of the way. That's some admin done on it, on my point. I don't think it's wrong. But to be sticking to the guns on that months later when he's clearly demonstrating why he's been brought to the club is ludicrous, quite frankly. Barkas is a good example because, you know, Barkas was the darling of these accounts to which you refer. And I don't want to really point to anyone's opinion on Twitter and that as a result, but it's like Barkas has been held up as this example as to what you should go for in a goalkeeper, but he was a disastrous signing, like catastrophically bad signing. Not only was he ridiculously expensive, he actually, Celtic have signed a load of players in the very recent past. In fact, going back the last 30 years, I've signed a load of players who come in and did nothing, but he wasn't one of those guys. Like Charlie Musonda, right, came in, did absolutely nothing, cost a fortune as a loan, and just disappeared. But Barkas came in, cost a fortune, and cost Celtic massively on the pitch.
Oh,
see, if you were to just bookend this season right now, if the season ended yesterday on Sunday, it would have started with Barkas chucking one in his own net against Midtjylland at home in that game that only 9,000 or 6,000 were at, including me. I had a great view of that. in. So the season started with him chucking the ball in his own net and ended with Joe Hart pulling off a save that basically guaranteed the league.
Yeah.
Because see, if we'd lost that game yesterday, make no mistake about this, it would have been squeaky bums time for the last three games of the season. 3 points in it, yes, with goal difference. We're still with three games to play. Tense to say the least. So Joe Hart comes up with that save and he has been an absolutely brilliant signing. Could you get a better goalkeeper with the ball at his feet? I'm sure you could, right? But sacrifices have to be made here, and the amount of saves that Joe Hart has come up with, I would even go as far to say, it might be hyperbolic here, but I would even go as far to say is I don't know if we're winning the league without guys. It's not just Joe Hart himself, but without guys like Joe Hart and guys like Starfelt, guys like Greg Taylor, guys who have been criticised and questioned the whole way through the season. I don't know if we're sitting in this position without some of these guys.
It's the contradiction that's never spotted that kind of gets me with these arguments, right? So the argument is there a Joe Hart, still unfashionable at Celtic, still unfancied by a lot of people. Their argument is there's a better player out there with the ball at his feet, right? Yeah, but you just said that about Barkas.
Yeah.
And Joe Hart's at the club and he's keeping the ball out of the net and he's fine with his feet. Joe Hart said in his press conference when he arrived, look, I might not be the best at my feet, but if we play the system right, we're talking about 12-8, 12-yard passes and that's all I need to do. So he's maybe not the best at his feet, but we had a goalkeeper who was supposedly good at his feet. He was scouted and he was wonderful and it was all this sort of stuff and he couldn't keep the ball at the net. And I feel like I need to fight Joe Hart's corner a wee bit, because the guy came up here, as you said, Stephen, disaster after disaster, completely unfancied, took a pay cut, cost £1 million, got a 2-year contract, and everyone wrote the guy off before he even put a Celtic jersey on, and he's been great.
Including his most recent manager at Spurs, basically told him he's not a footballer anymore. Yeah. Months
your
before.
Body is broken, whatever
yeah,
he told him.
Yeah, you'll never play a minute for me.
Mm. Yeah, I think anybody that had any doubts about Joe Hart have probably come round to him now, and I don't think Stephen's exaggerating at all. I think if Celtic hadn't signed Joe Hart at the start of the season, we wouldn't win the league. Wouldn't win the league, and it's not just the saves, it's the overall leadership. You've seen the guy's basically a captain as well. A captain that's
been captain, hasn't he? He's had the captain's armband done in a game.
I think he's had it on briefly, possibly once, but I mean, for the guy to come in, and it's not just the ability he brings, it's the whole all-round leadership. I'm sure he's a popular guy in the dressing room. Every player in most interviews always mentions him. Him and Callum McGregor have they've led Celtic alongside Ange Postecoglou to where they are the now. And Barkas, I can name you numerous mistakes he made, numerous goals he cost Celtic. Joe Hart, I can think of Altmar. And that's it.
Yeah.
I can't think of any mistakes. Yes, he does make mistakes with the ball at his feet, but I think every so keeper's going
player.
To do that.
Every player on the pitch does that. It's just highlighted more when it's Joe Hart.
And he's only needing to make short passes. So I think with Celtic yesterday, there is times where he does look cumbersome and you're like, give Starfelt a chance, Joe. Come on, you're making it harder for him. And I think Celtic's defence was good yesterday. I thought Starfelt was having a really good game, but it's just letting in that goal sort of clouded that a wee bit. But it was a tough one. I think that was quite a well-worked goal Rangers got there.
It was a decent goal, but as I says, I thought maybe Joe Hart could have done a wee bit better for it, but that's debatable. There's not you're not pointing the finger and going that was a mistake by Joe Hart, nailed on. Do you think, Stephen, though, this passing the ball out really quickly, that's manager instructions, isn't it?
Because sometimes
you're watching it, you're like, what the... Stop, Joe!
Yeah, it clearly is. He's clearly been told to play a certain way. That's not just speculation. It's very obvious that the team have been told to play like this, because you think, against all odds, like, even in the most pressurised of circumstances, they still try and play like this. I understand it to an extent, and I understand people getting a little bit worried about it, especially in games like that, especially in games against Rangers, when we're not 4-0 up and we're playing a bit of the back right. I understand it, but again, just to reiterate, I've been saying it all the whole time, the alternative is we launch it long, right? And I know for that 2 seconds that it gets it away from the goal, you feel a bit safer. But see, when it just lands on Calvin Bassey's chest and they start again, there's no point to it. Yeah, yes, you may not concede a goal from your own goal line when somebody takes it off you, but you've just lost the ball. You've just lost... There was numerous examples of that. Starfelt tried a couple as well where he would just sort of slap the ball forwards. It was trying like these side-footed launches up the pitch. It would just drop into midfield and Rangers would just come straight back at us. I understand that. I do. I genuinely, I'm not like sneering and saying, oh, these dinosaurs with their punt up the park. I know that the pressure is on and you want it, just get it away for the goal. But the players can't take that attitude. They can't afford to take that attitude on the pitch, because it doesn't benefit the team in any way. Yes, it will settle the crowd down if you just punt it up there, because see when it's sailing way over everybody's head, you go, you'll breathe out, right? But then it just comes straight back at you.
Just a couple of things on Starfelt and on the crowd. Starfelt did it again against Rangers. There seems to be moments where, see when he's under no pressure, he's looking for a pass. If the pass to Carter Vickers isn't on, he maybe passes out of the pitch or makes a mess of it. But there's a couple of times this season when he's been under pressure and he just brushed the player away and gallivanted up the pitch.
Aye.
And it's like he falls into a trance. It's like, Carver, do that again. Do what again? That thing you did where you ran by 4 guys. Don't remember it. It's like, you can do that, mate. You've obviously got the ability. Please try it.
In a centre-half flow state. I think you're right,
just like gallivants up the pitch before you know he's 18 yards for goal. He's knocked 3 Rangers players out the way.
It's again something you sort of need to... You need to take that with Starfelt, don't you? Because I thought defensively he was brilliant yesterday. Yeah. Clearance his head. He made one mistake,
didn't he? And recovered brilliantly for him. I can't remember who it was against, actually.
But that's it with him. He's a brilliant defender, but on the ball, he is ponderous. But what Rangers do is they leave him on the ball.
Yeah.
And I was just getting a wee bit frustrated with him at times, because he was left on the ball, Rangers drop into the free ahead of him, and then he's got that space. Drive into it, commit somebody, and then play the pass, because then that means somebody has to move out and it opens up somebody else. But he just didn't do it. He'd done it once and we powered through because Rangers weren't closing them down. So I felt Celtic, if we're going to play out from the back, simple to say, but we have to do it better. And that means players need to be willing. It's not just Starfelt that has to do it better, because there's 10 players on the pitch that potentially he could pass to. But sometimes there wasn't the options, and that's why Rogic, Beaton, is too ponderous in there for me. We need the guys quickly moving about. Like Greg Taylor, I think he picked up really good positions trying to find space. Ralston's not as good as Juranovic, but McGregor, he's fine, but some of the other players just weren't getting into the positions for guys like Starfelt to move, and that's when Celtic are their best. Play it forward quickly and get on the move, and the longer the game went on, the less we done of that. The more punts we'd done up, as Stephen said, it was coming back. And that's playing into Rangers' hands, because they are a physical team. Yeah. They are bigger than us, and they can get the ball, move it into positions. Like the fans for two chances Sakala had apart from his goals are balls in behind the team, because we'd lost the ball. They pick up and play it through quickly. Celtic sort of let the game took it down to Rangers level, and that's exactly what they wanted. That's what happened in the League Cup semi-final, and Celtic need to be better on the ball.
Just on the crowd, Stephen, I felt, when I said at the Cup final on the podcast, I said when Rangers scored, I felt that the crowd got a bit spooked, they went a bit quiet and all that. I felt the same thing happened again in that game. Did you feel it?
Yeah, I think even, I thought at half-time, I thought it came out for the second half with a noticeable dip in the overall and kind of fiery atmosphere.
I even noticed I even thought that the Green Brigade were, they weren't pushing out as many hits per minute.
I know what you mean. The second half just felt a wee bit more subdued. Maybe that was just my perception, but I thought that the first half was so loud, so intense for the crowd. It was almost like, because it scored, I thought, like, well, it's kind of done here. It's kind of job done. I didn't really see. I just went to the game thinking nothing other than a Celtic victory, but I thought there was a noticeable dip when we came out for the second half in the overall crowd atmosphere. And I'd never really bought into the idea that that affects the players all that much on the pitch, but maybe it'll fit in.
I feel like it does. I feel like maybe this sort of, there's a lull. I don't know. I know you've said before that the players kind of have to give the fans something to feed off. It's like vice versa. But again, I felt that lull came back into the game.
Yeah, look, it's quite a difficult one because I think this season, from my point of view anyway, I just want this League One. But you're not quite enjoying it until it's won, if you know what I mean. You're just like, we need to get this over the line, because in previous times, like, we've been quite far ahead when we've won the league, so we've not had this sort of tense race. And I think there's so much riding on this season because there's so much money, a big pot of gold at the end of it for the Champions League money, that everybody's just desperate to win this, that just won over the line, and then maybe it just releases all that pressure. Because when we've seen Celtic's good performances in pretty much every game you're going to, Celtic have been under pressure to win the game, and that comes from the crowd as well, because we're only 6 points behind them, and then if we beat them, well, we can go top of the league. And then as soon as you get top of the league, we need to stay ahead, we need to win this, and then beat them at Ibrox, 6 points. And then when it gets to yesterday, you're just sort of, well, just beat them, and then that's basically it. And then when it doesn't come, it is nerve-wracking. It is nerve-wracking because one of those chances goes in for Rangers and you're like, how have we ended up losing this game? We probably don't deserve to win it, you could argue, but we probably don't deserve to lose it. And you can get spooked because it's on a knife edge. Like, that's 6 points and it's sealed. If that had went to 3 points, and you're like, so it's the margins are so fine and the teams are so close that you're going, look, even if Celtic play pretty well, we could still end up losing this. Whereas Celtic were turning up in the last, 5 years and battering Rangers 4-5. Look, numerous times in the season we scored 5 goals against them, and we sort of got away from that. It's become closer now. We're looking at it going, this is a tight title race, and if Celtic can get this over the line, it will be miraculous. But you need to get it over the line just for that release of pressure, because I think the game after we win the league will be unbelievable. Everybody will be in full party mode. We're just getting that champagne just on ice. We've got Ryland waiting there. We're waiting on him.
Ryland, you need to come to Celtic Park
and get
this is an official invite to Ryland. Come to Celtic Park, guests of 20 Minute Tim's for the title party.
Get one of the cars to drive you.
What ones?
Cinch cars.
Oh, get car to drive them. Yeah, threw me off there, Stephen.
Well, that was another defeat. That was another real quiz victory for Rangers yesterday. Outsung by 700 fans as well. I heard that. So didn't he make it all the way to my seat anyway?
Remember I said to Stephen at the game, look at that flag. It said Barhead had a Rangers badge or some manky badge of theirs, and then underneath it said staunch and true. What does that mean?
You'd never really hear the word staunch used really in any other context.
It's like bile.
Bile. What did you make though of the Peaky Blinders? Because Green Brigade get work as usual, you know, and there was a lot of work in that, a lot of pressure on the live spray painter guy.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
A lot of pressure on him to get that right. But I just think Peaky Blinders, as far as cultural touchstones go, is reeking a toxic masculinity. It's sort of really, really cheesy. I associate it with, like, Instagram memes, a picture of Tommy Shelby with the cap, lighting a cigarette, saying something like,
a lion doesn't.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm old school. I respect such
I respect
such.
My women. I hate men and I drink pints and stuff like that. Yeah, there's it's such Peaky Blinders for me is such a weird cultural thing. I'm just it's just completely passed me by.
Peaky Blinders, I mean,
have you watched it?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually quite a good and well made and well acted TV show. But it's a naff cultural phenomenon because of what it has birthed and all the guys with their clothes and all that. But I feel the same way about Peaky Blinders as I do about Rage Against the Machine and Fight Club. It spawned basically the worst things in culture imaginable, but I don't think they can necessarily...
I don't know if I can sit here and have you slag Rage Against the Machine.
That's not what I'm saying. Oh, right. Totally taking the opposite of my point.
You said it
point.
Spawned the worst cultural things imaginable?
Yeah, Limp Bizkit came after Rage Against the Machine.
Well, I can't have you slag Limp Bizkit either.
Worst, they spawned... Limp Bizkit and Korn and Linkin Park and all that drip.
You're ripping him apart here.
Hold on a second. I'm not going to sit here on my own podcast.
Say Tool's well.
I don't know anything about them, but Rage Against the Machine.
Hope Fred Durst doesn't watch. We didn't bother.
Rage Against the Machine can't be blamed for that. Just like Peaky Blinders can't be blamed for the lad culture.
Okay, right. I'm fuming at that, Melly. I can't let that go. Let's talk about the manager. Manager of the year, Alpha Papa, Ange Postecoglou. Fully deserved his manager of the year title, did he not?
Oh, definitely. The standout candidate.
Gazumping Dick Campbell.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Aye. Good.
Who was up for it? Paul Hartley, Dick Campbell, Alpha Papa, and someone else. I can't remember.
Malky
McCarthy. He's quite right. Aye.
You've got to give it to Ange, haven't you? The job he's done is incredible.
Not a miracle, though. According to Ewan Murray, who previously in the season wrote that it would take a miracle to overturn Rangers. That was the best. This you that I've seen all season.
Aye, absolutely brilliant. Check our Twitter feed for evidence of that.
Yeah,
the guy deserves it. The job he's done is incredible. To have one trophy in the bag already, to have Celtic on the verge of winning the title from where we were. Remember, he was talking about you guys give out titles early in this country. Like, he stuck to what he believed in, and we could all see it. Like, this is going to click at some point if we get it right, and we've got it right. Like, some of the... I think, as I said, when we win this league, if we had a draw in, say, one of the previous games against Rangers and then beat them yesterday, I think the whole perception would be completely different. It's just because we stayed 6 points ahead. But, I mean, if you were offering 6 points ahead a month ago at this point, you'd be like, wow, that's going to take something. And that's what you have to do. You can't just look at it as the last match. You have to look at it over the season. Some of the football we have played has been incredible. We've got new heroes everywhere all over the pitch. We've got players buying into everything this guy says. And everything he says, you're like, this guy is special, man. He is special. And once this league is signed and sealed in the next week or so, I just want Celtic just to sit down and hand out free contracts. Jota, Carter Vickers and Ange Postecoglou is the one they have to get nailed down longer term, because I know he's on a one-year own contract, but hit him with a four-year deal because this guy, it's brilliant. And look, Europe's going to be difficult for Celtic, but the way we are playing there now is some of my favourite football I've watched from a Celtic team. Everybody buys into it. We've got good young players who could be here for two or three seasons and build something really special. To go from 9 in a row, lose the league like we've done, and for this guy to come in and just pick this club up from the ashes, basically by himself, because nothing else has really changed apart from him. Same coaching staff, and he's just brought in players. He's got a style like Liverpool, Man City. Buy players to suit my style, and I'll get your results. We've got two trophies. We were, one game away from being in a Scottish Cup final. We managed to do okay in the Europa League, despite us saying we're not going to qualify for that. It's incredible, and it's just going to be great to see where Celtic can go from here, because I don't think he's going to rest on his laurels. I think there's going to be three or four key positions he will target in the summer to bring in players to improve. I'm talking maybe a left-back, a central midfielder, a winger, if we sign Jordan Carter, maybe a left-sided centre-half, and Celtic could be a really good team for a few years.
I agree with all of that. I can't really put you're very welcome. Well done, Mel. I can't really improve on that much, but I can put a little bow on it by saying that I believe that the manager of the year shouldn't just automatically be the league winner, because I don't think that tells the whole story. I think you can win a league in a country, just any country, without necessarily having outperformed your task set, right? I can't really think, because it's always like a toss-up between like Klopp and Pep Guardiola in England. It just depends who won it. But you've got managers there just taking this season as an example, Eddie Howe has performed miracles with that Newcastle team. I think they're basically the second or third best team in the league since he took over, which is ridiculous because they were down. And the reason I'm talking about this is because, as I don't think it should just go to the automatic, the winner of the league. I think it should be about what you do within, you know, the boundaries of your resources. And for all the reasons that Melly has just listed, I think it's still Ange Postecoglou. I think even though he has the, you know, the greatest budget in the league and all that, I think even with that, I think you look at where Celtic were again. I don't want to have that whole conversation again about where, how the distance we've come in that.
Just look at the Michelin lineup.
Exactly. And I think even stripping away, I don't want to get too misty eyed about it, right? Okay. But even stripping away all the football stuff, the level to which the Ange has made us all just buy back in to this club after the insults we suffered last season from the club and from the board and all the pish we were hit with in the press, and it seemed like a daily basis. But it's all to have fully bought back into, I mean, we're always going to be supporters of the club, of course, but to have thrown ourselves so fully behind a manager, and there's always going to be a few dissenting voices out there. I can't speak for everyone, but for the vast, vast majority of the Celtic support, we're massively behind this guy. And that's not easy. That's not easy to come from, you know, again, like relative obscurity for us. I'm not doing that thing where, oh, he's come from nobody. Like, he's a no-mark and all that. But to Scottish football, he's a relative unknown.
Yeah.
To have come in from that level of basically nothing to the average Scottish fan, to being what he is now, the figurehead of Celtic Football Club, is a remarkable performance from a manager, and he fully deserves his manager of the year. Even taking away all the trophies and all that, just for what he's done with the resources at hand, the lack of a team he had, the whole team left at the last summer, and to have won the league, remarkable in itself, but just his performance as a manager has been exceptional.
Yeah, and I was just thinking when you were saying that, when Celtic managers, like big managers that have come in the past, whether it be Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan, maybe to a lesser extent, Brendan Rodgers. Rodgers and O'Neill, they're coming in with huge fanfare. Like Brendan Rodgers had thousands of people go to the game. From the off, everybody pretty much was behind that appointment. It looked perfect. Ange Postecoglou had to come in, do all you're saying, and win over a lot of his own fans. And he's done that through his performances, through the team he's built, and through his words. Everybody hangs on every word he says now.
Well, remember, he was asked quite early on what it was like to be the second choice. Everyone knew he was the second choice for Celtic. And his reaction to that was, I might be the fifth choice for all I know. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. And he's never been fazed by a single second of that. Because that's not easy either. See, for the club to have taken such a very high-profile pursuit of a, you know, a sort of white elephant manager, Eddie Howe, and to fail that, and for Ange Postecoglou to come in, everyone, not everyone maybe, but a lot of us were like, seriously? Because you need to remember where we've come from as well. You've just listed them. Brendan Rodgers was a major, major coup for Celtic at the time. Major name in management. Then there was Neil Lennon, who was a very obvious figure in Celtic's history. And then this guy comes in. We need to remember what that was like at the time. Everyone's like, this is ridiculous. The board this, the board that.
Yeah.
And for this to have been delivered to this extent, incredible.
You couldn't, when you first came in, we all set out our pre-season expectations and they've all been surpassed.
All
of them at every stage, and he's given us our team back, as something we've said before. Yep. And it's just great to have ultimate faith in a manager, and I can't really add much to what you two have said about the guy. We need to get him signed up on some sort of contract. We need to show the same faith in Ange. The club need to show the same faith in Ange that the supporters have got. And before we wrap up, I think it would be remiss not to mention Leo Labada, Young Player of the Year. Well deserved.
Very, very surprising impact from Leo Labada. The first half of the season was incredible from him. 14 or 15 goals by basically, you know, kind of Christmas or January. He's fallen off a bit since then and has since lost his place a little bit. That's absolutely fine. He's got plenty of time. He's still very young. I've had one or two questions over him this season as to whether he can deliver long term for Celtic. But every time I do that, he shuts me up, and it led me to say, look, there's absolutely no sense in focusing on the negatives with him anymore, because his impact has been so huge and his contribution has been, you know, so significant in this title push that he has had a great season, even if it has tailed off a little bit, which you can probably expect from such a young player.
Yeah, because we've brought him in and you've not got that, seen him grow up like certain players coming through the youth ranks, that you forget how young he is. Like Celtic, Abada, Yeah, Matt O'Reilly's 21 as well. Like guys like that, even Hatate's quite young as well, 23, I think he is. So when you look at Leal Abada, and I go, ah, he could improve this in his game, he could improve that in his game, he needs to get better at dribbling. But he scores goals. Ah, that's fine then.
Yeah.
Just score goals then, mate, because that's how you win games. So look, if everybody's flying at Celtic and Leal Abada's there, he'll score you goals. Yeah. So I think he's going to be an important player over the next couple of years. Can improve, but if you're telling me, look, this guy's got improving to do and he's going to get you at least 15 goals a season, sign me up.
Patreon.com/20MinuteTims, no big sale.
Sign up for that. As well.
Sign up for that. Yeah, patreon.com/20MinuteTims, no big sale, no massive advert this week. You already know what it is. If you want to support us, you enjoy the work that we do, you enjoy the podcast, and you want more of it, patreon.com/20MinuteTims. There's a link down below. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. What a podcast, eh?
Yeah.
We've done it again.
We're just men.
We have done it again. We've delivered another world-class podcast performance, despite the fact we're just normal men.
Unbelievable. Every week people listen to this podcast, they go, how can they improve? Well, we've done it. And on that note, I was about to plug the Patreon again by accident. And on that note, thank you so much for listening and watching.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.